Welcome to Big Papa Rob's podcast, Story Rewind, The Missing. I'm Big Papa Rob. Each of my stories are about one of the many missing people out there. I rewind the story of a missing person in hopes that someone will hear their story and can share information to help find these people. Today, we're doing part two of the update episodes of the 11 missing persons podcasts that I have covered. I have my wife, Mandy, with me again today. Say hello, Mandy.
Hi, everyone.
If you've listened to last week's episode, you know we covered an update in the cases of Layla Santinello, Jenna Van Gorden, Keeslin Roberts, Caleb Smith, and Sarah Eppersall. Today, we're going to start off talking about episode 22, Holland Snap. I covered Holland Snap's case November 17, 2023. She, just like Layla Santinello, went missing from Kingsport, Tennessee. Holland went missing October 15, 2023. If you follow any of the social media about Holland and Layla, you will see that the family and friends of both of these young ladies are working together in their searches and getting the word out on both of them. Early on in Holland's disappearance, there was a lot of speculation that these two cases could be connected, especially since at the time, it was being said that Layla went missing from the Marblestone Creamery, which is about 5 miles from where Holland was last seen on Bell Ridge Drive. In the same police update about Layla's case, the Kingsport Police released, one of the questions they answered stated Layla and Holland's missing persons case were not related and that there's no evidence connecting the two cases. Within the last week or so, family and friends of Holland have shared more information about Holland regarding her appearance at the time she went missing. When she was last seen on Bell Ridge Drive, she was seen in a severely beaten state at a residence of a 51-year-old man that she had been staying with, and they suspect he had helped disposing of Holland's body.
Okay, so is she still missing, or is she actually deceased, and they're trying to figure out who did it?
At this point, she's considered missing because they haven't found anything.
So why are they saying that they think this man, this 51-year-old man, had helped disposing of her body if they don't know that she's dead?
It appears to be rumors of people who know but won't come forward to talk to the police information. He was also into substance abuse as well, and supposedly some of these people who's came has talked about this to, I believe, private investigators, but not the police, have made these statements. And from their information is believed, but there's not enough information for the police to do a search of the house or to take this guy into custody.
Okay.
They believe he took advantage of Holland because of her mental state. Even though Holland is a 19-year-old young lady, her mental capacity is that of a 10-year-old. It appears that because there is lack of evidence or witnesses coming forward to talk to the sheriff's office, the case is at a standstill. Let's talk about Holland Snap's description. Holland was a 19-year-old when she went missing. She is 4'8" tall, weighing 90 pounds. She has brown hair and hazel eyes. She has a tattoo on her right arm of a pyramid with an eye and circle on it. If you have any information on this case, please contact the Sullivan County Sheriff's Office at 423-279-7300.
Episode 23 was about Andy Madison Wagner. Rob covered this case on November 24th, 2023. This missing person is from Evansville, Indiana, and Rob actually moved from Evansville to Atlanta. Andy went missing August 12th of 2022. This is one of those cases that just doesn't have a lot of coverage. Andy's mother was the driving force behind getting her information out on social media and did a lot of the feet-on-the-ground searches for her daughter. Andy's mother, Elaine Garcia, unfortunately passed away December 15th of 2023. Relatives that have taken over the Answers for Andy Facebook group are still trying to find answers to this case. Rob reached out to see if they had any new updates. They were hoping to start searches up again in mid-March, which that's what we're in now. And as far as you know, Rob, there's nothing new that come about or...
No, not right now, because they have just recently posted they had another death in the family that they're going through right now, but they're still planning on, as soon as they get things settled, to pick up the search again for.
Okay. The family has a need for supplies for the searches, and they have recreated an Amazon wish list if any of you would be able to help or would like to help with their needs. So let's talk about Andy's description. Andy Wagner is described as 5 feet, 4 inches tall, weighing between 115 and 125 pounds. She has brown hair and brown eyes. She has several tattoos, a dream catcher on her left forearm, Joshua Brown on her right forearm, and some finger tattoos. She was last seen in Evansville, Indiana on August 6, 2022. She could have been traveling to Oakland City, Indiana. If you have any information about Andy's disappearance, please contact the Evansville, Indiana Police at 812-436-7979. Case number 22-15858.
Episode 24 and 25 was about Heather T. These were released in December of 2023. Sarah Teague, Heather's mother, reached out to me after hearing my podcast about Andy Wagner. This case also takes place near Evansville, Indiana. Being from the area myself, locals call this area the tri-state area because you can quickly drive from Kentucky, Indiana, and Illinois in less than an hour from any one of these three states. Heather went missing, or abducted, August 26, 1995. There was an eyewitness to the abduction that took place along the shores of the Ohio River on the Kentucky side. The witness was using a telescope on the Indiana side of the river when he saw a man abduct a woman at gunpoint. I did this case in two episodes. The first episode with me telling the story based on the facts of the case. When I spoke to Sarah Teague, I felt that the story of her daughter's abduction should be told in her own words as well, which was episode 25. Since the podcasts, there haven't been any updates. Sarah has started writing the government officials in Kentucky to investigate how her daughter's case has been handled by the Kentucky State Police. She has also filed a Freedom of Information Act related to the 911 call that she and her lawyer heard, which is very different than the one we heard during the podcast. The one she wants a copy of has a female dispatcher on the phone, and the caller talks about the person taking her daughter having a wig and mosquito net on. There is now a $10,000 reward being offered in this case. Sarah Teague is also raising money through a GoFundMe account to honor her daughter's memory through the Heather Danielle Teague Scholarship Fund. I will have a link to the show notes related to this. Sarah remains very active on Facebook and continues to search for answers. She is also in the progress of writing a book about her daughter's disappearance.
So there's two different 911 calls, and they said that one had a female. So how, I'm just confused by the whole two 911 calls things. So did two different people call 911 and it was two different dispatchers, or one person called two different times, or what happened? Do you know?
Well, if you go back in the case files where we talked about it, this was the very first 911 call that her and her lawyer was allowed to listen to early on in the case.
Yeah.
Had this female dispatcher.
Okay.
She went to court and was able to file to get all the police reports, including the 911 call. I can't remember what year. I talked about it in the podcast.
Uh-huh.
But when they got the 911 call, it was a male dispatcher, and there's nothing mentioned about the hair, the wig, or the net. And the police say that that's the only 911 call that they have. But yet, where did they come up with the one that her and her lawyer heard of a female dispatcher? And the witness sounded like the same guy talking about a wig and a mosquito net. Now, Sarah thinks there's a little bit of conspiracy behind it, that the person they went after in this case didn't match the description in the 911 call of the one we heard in the during the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And that she believes that they made this, the 911 call that they heard back then, up and then got rid of it.
Okay. She thinks that the made up call was the one that her and her lawyer heard.
Mm-hmm. And when the courts forced Kentucky State Police to release all the information, that one obviously wasn't part of the information released to him. And she had to go back to court, I think, a second time to get the Kentucky State Police to release everything that the judge told them to release.
Huh. I'm just confused. It's confusing to me if they ended up hearing there were two different 911 calls. And they had to request those calls from the sheriff's department. How did they end up with two 911 calls?
On this one, I believe it was from the Kentucky State Police, because the witness early on the 911 call we heard during the podcast stated that he had called Indiana 911 and then was told to call the Kentucky State Police, because he was on the Indiana side of the river. When he dialed 911, it went to the Indiana Sheriff's Department, probably, of that county. And then they told him he had to call Kentucky State Police.
Okay.
And that 911 call, they say there's no evidence of. It wasn't saved from the Indiana side.
Hmm.
There's a lot of oddities around this case.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Heather Teague's description. Heather was abducted August 26, 1995, from Spotsville, Kentucky, on the Ohio River near the Newburgh Lock and Dam. She was 23 years old at the time she was taken. She is 5'1" tall, weighing 90 to 100 pounds. Had brown hair and green eyes. If you have any information regarding Heather's disappearance, Sarah Teague has requested that she be contacted directly at 270-836-7643. I just wanted to add one more thing. Sarah recently sent me a quote of one of Heather's many writings that I wanted to end with on her story. Mandy, will you read that?
This is from Heather's writing. "Beside intolerant faces I stand, holding heart and soul in hand, reaching for someone to remember, to comprehend, to recognize my struggle, my desperation. Is there anything left that's pure? I know addicts of hypocrisy, mockery, the drug of choice. Pity spent discriminately is still prejudiced. Call out to all the homeless people. Aren't they people without a home?
Mandy, I'm going to have you talk about episode 26.
Okay. Episode 26 was about Paul Aaron Triplett. It was Rob's first episode this year in January when Heather, Paul's sister, reached out to Rob about doing a story on his case. Rob started searching for news articles and couldn't find any type of news coverage. Paul went missing on January 2nd, 2002. In Litcar, I hope I'm saying that correctly, Kentucky. Rob reached out to Heather to see if there had been any updates. She stated that she is trying to convince two witnesses from back then to come forward and point out where her brother's body is buried. She and the family are planning to search this summer for a possible area Paul may be located at. She said that she has found that in 2008, the police got a search warrant to search a property, and all three of the cadaver dogs alerted to one spot, but for some reason, they never chose to dig in that area. This was based on two anonymous tips that came in stating that Paul was buried under a concrete slab on that property. It appears that when they did the search, all they did was confirm that there was still a concrete slab that aligned with the tips that were given by the anonymous tipsters. One other thing to note, Paul's mother, she had submitted DNA to the Kentucky State Police some years ago, and it was sent to the wrong lab, she said. It was supposed to be corrected and sent to the Kentucky State Police. Before I go on, Rob, I wanted to ask a question, though. If I'm not mistaken, in one of the other cases that we just read about a few minutes ago, talking about a body, but the person's missing, the same thing is going on here. Has he been, was he found deceased, or is he still missing as well?
He's technically still missing, but presumed murdered based on information from the time. He was supposed to be, if I'm not mistaken, from back when we did the episode, delivering some drugs to this guy, and that this guy beat him over the head with a gun and then had people help dispose of the body, from what I recall on that case.
But there was never proof of that, the authorities said, or something? Is that why he's still missing?
Correct. I mean, okay. There was a lot of rumors that said he was in a well, he was in this, he was in that. Almost everything said he had been killed. But
no body's ever been found.
No found. And then if you recall, his truck, I believe it was what he had, was found in Lexington, Kentucky at a hospital parking lot.
Yeah. Okay. So according to Paul's family, the DNA has still not made it to the Kentucky State Police lab, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, unfortunately, the police are not communicating with the family about their activity in the case. Heather has stated that she and the rest of the family don't even care about someone going to jail at this point. They just want to know where Paul's remains are so they can give him a proper burial. Paul's description, one more time, is his name was Paul Aaron Triplett. He went missing January 7th, 2002, in the area of Flax Patch Road in Litcar, Kentucky. He was 20 years old when he went missing. He is 6 feet 2 inches tall and weighed 150 pounds. He has long brown hair, green eyes, and a goatee. He had a bird tattoo on his right shoulder blade and a dragon tattoo on the inside of his right calf. If you have any information regarding the whereabouts of Paul Triplett, please call the Kentucky State Police at 606-435-6069. Case number 13-02-0151. You can also contact Heather, Paul's sister, and her email address will be in the show notes. The last update we have is from episode 27, Morgan Aaron, is it Bauer?
Yes.
Okay. Rob did this podcast in February, and as you know, the case was solved. He was really hoping that the second suspect, Caitlin Goble, would be sentenced. When he was looking up court records, it appears that she had appeared in court February 21st of 2024, and that her lawyers requested a Jackson versus Dino hearing. And this is where, in 1964, Supreme Court case that established a hearing to determine if a defendant's confession was voluntary or involuntary. There were several other filings listed on that day as well related to the case. On February 25th, Morgan's mother came back to Porterdale, Georgia, to hold a candlelight vigil at the Yellow River Park. And she continues to maintain the Missing Morgan Facebook page, using this to post other missing persons. And she still does a Missing Morgan Monday every Monday at 11:11 p.m. Eastern Time to meditate and pray for Morgan and for the others to join in this, to pray or meditate for anyone needing help or others that are missing.
Yeah, she actually has a huge following on her Missing Morgan Facebook page. And it seems to be a good source for family members that's going through the same ordeal to have get support from this mother that's gone through this and unfortunately didn't get her daughter back. But I'm still following this one to see when Caitlin Goble actually goes to court and is sentenced. As you know, the other gentleman, he's already pleaded guilty and several accounts and probably spend the rest of his life in jail. Well, that was it for the update podcast. We covered quite a bit of information today. Do you have any thoughts about any of the cases we talked about today, Mandy?
No, not in closing out the podcast today. Just what we had talked about during the podcast with the people that's supposedly deceased, but they've not been said that they're deceased, that they're still missing, and all the witnesses, and it just pulls at your heartstrings. It's terrible. It's terrible. Just wish that somebody that knew something would let these families know anything, any something they might have seen, they might have heard, might have been told, anything to try and help these families.
I agree. I mean, you hear people drop the word families need closure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if that's the right wording for it because,
yeah, I agree.
But they need answers one way
exactly.
or the other that
exactly.
yes, their loved one is passed. Here's the evidence. Here's mm-hmm. the body, or that they're alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I know myself, if I was in this situation, I would never give up hope, even though all the evidence leads the other way.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't want to give up hope in your loved one.
Exactly.
We will be back in 2 weeks with another The Missing episode. The stories I tell about the missing, I hope, arms you with new information about these missing persons that may lead to finding them. Additionally, I hope that you will share the information about these people in hopes that by sharing, it may lead to locating these people. As with almost all missing persons cases, there is someone out there that knows something. Please come forward and contact the authorities. Once again, I'm Big Papa Rob, and this was an independent podcast called Story Rewind. Story Rewind, The Missing, is written and produced by Big Papa Rob. Editing is done by my new co-host, Mandy, aka Big Mama, who just happens to be my wonderful wife. I couldn't continue to do these podcasts without her support. For a donation to help me cover my operating costs, you can go to buymeacoffee.com. You can find the link in my show notes or on my social media pages. Your support would be greatly appreciated. I would appreciate a 5-star rating if you listen to my podcast through Apple Podcasts. And finally, if you have a story idea, please contact me through my social media. A link to my social media accounts is listed in the show notes. I would love to hear from you. Today's music was The Shield by Hot Dope from Pixabay. This was a Big Papa Rob Podcast 2024. See the show notes for links to the reference material used in this podcast.